Hey everybody, we're back with another version of Flock and Gather. This one is going to be so fun. My friend Lynn Curry from Curry Spa Consulting, she's in Sonoma, and before we started, we were talking about wine, so we'll talk about that today as well. Hello, Lynn Curry, how are you?
Hello, Alan. It's so nice to be here. Thanks for having me. You're always so much fun.
Well, welcome to the only 18-minute spa podcast with 72,000 members around the globe. And you and I are never going to get this done in 18 minutes. We just spent 12 talking. I didn't even hit the push button yet, but we'll get around to it along the way. How are things in Sonoma?
Everything's going well here. I mean, we are working from home, you know, not in the office at the moment. I miss Jessica because she and I are, you know, have a great time working together, but the office will probably be open very soon. But I don't mind working from home either. It's been kind of a nice treat to just be home sometimes.
Yeah. For our listeners, people who don't know Lynn's wing woman, her name's Jessica Shore. When you meet her, you'll know her. You'll just love her to death. Give her a hug for me, please. Do that.
I will, Alan.
Even if it's a virtual hug, just share it along. Yeah. It is interesting. We talk about the work from home because who would have thought a year back? It's almost like a year to the date now, right? That the whole COVID thing started. That people. A lot of people would find out that they're very good at working from home and managing multiple lives, if you will. And some people, it is just not working for, and they absolutely need to be back at an office big time. It's been an interesting conundrum, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, the thing is, I think it depends what your family situation is. I mean, everybody that I know that has children of school age, And you know, it's been very, very difficult. And I my heart goes out to those people. And some people have found a balance. But I think for people that don't have school age children at home, there can be some benefits. And then for those young adults who don't have children and aren't attached, they can work from anywhere. And they are.
What do you think's going to happen with a lot of the large companies across the globe, but I'm always concerned about our business. A lot of these companies have figured out, you know, they don't need to put 150 people in a building. You know, that three quarters of them can work fine from home. They were just as productive. So why go back to the big building thing? What do you think?
Well, I wonder the same thing. And we see offices for rent all over, especially, you know, we're an hour north of San Francisco. San Francisco is really, you know, having a hard time. I think some of these bigger corporations that have the financial, you know, backing, they can keep some of their offices and use them as what do they call it? There's a name for the office when, you know, anybody can use that desk at any kind, at any specific day.
Right. They're like workspace and all those kind of places.
Yeah. And I think that some of the big corporations will do that, but give employees the opportunity to work from home. And I think that is that's a big consideration. And some people want to do that. And people like my 24-year-old is out, you know, spending a month or 6 weeks in different Airbnbs all over this country working from his office job.
Yeah, well, he should now because that might change later. So at 24, he better get out and about, right?
Exactly. Go for it.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, I know that California obviously is having its challenges. And I think I said this on a couple other podcasts already, but I got to remind people, we need California and New York up and operating because they are so critical to the larger economy of this country, let alone North America, let alone the world.
Yeah. You know, Alan, we need to be safe for sure.
Yep.
But this is ridiculous because the people that are making the decisions for us to open and close have no clue what happens in operations. They don't have any clue what it's like to run a small business. Most of those people, right? And so, you know, the other day, our governor said, we're opening today. Or, you know, he told everybody they could open. Like, he thinks that restaurants can just automatically open. He thinks that spas can automatically open. So it's been very, very frustrating to anybody that's in operations. So that's where we've been trying to be a support, but you know, we're not sitting in the business trying to get people in, but people want their spa services.
So I've said this before as well, because I'm in North Scottsdale, Cave Creek, right? I'm 35 minutes north of downtown Phoenix, and we like it here because it's high desert and it's just gorgeous. And it's going to be 70s this week. Sorry, my buddy Brian McGee told me he's going to watch the Super Bowl from his easy chair, but it's going to be -6 this weekend in Minnesota, and I don't miss it at all, right? But the starting up, it's not like flicking a light switch on. It's sort of more like pushing a dimmer switch up, right? Like restaurants can't just order food. Spas can't just pick up the phone and go, okay, come back to work. We're flicking the lights on. Everything's ready to go tomorrow. There's wait. And you have a lot of clients in this position, right? Where they just can't turn it like a light switch. It takes a little inertia to get things to move forward.
Yeah. And, you know, we have some spas have been, you know, keeping their clients on the books. They just keep moving them, shifting them. That takes a lot of man hours to keep doing that, to keep calling people, to keep moving their appointments, to keep changing things. And, you know, anybody that has food and beverage in their facility, they have to, you know, everybody that had refrigerators full of food in restaurants just had food go bad.
Lynn, what are you hearing in general about the spa business and how places are doing around the country? There's a lot of, well, the resorts aren't really open, or they can't do facials, but if you're a independent, you can be open at any percent. What's going on in your world?
Well, one of the biggest things is that for the spas that are in hotels and resorts, they are finding that guests are calling the hotel and making sure that the spa is open before they book their hotel room.
That's interesting.
So we know that there's a direct correlation. I mean, we've known that for a long time, but you know, this is sort of proof that there's that direct correlation to getting the RevPAR because of the spa. And so, you know, we are, you know, continuing to fight that the spa, anybody that's trained in any kind of a spa modality has better sanitation education than anybody in any other industry, right? So come on, let us open up. But for the country in general, people want their spa services. When California was given the notification that it was about to shut down, they were going to give, I think they gave us 2 weeks. Spas were busy. Spas were so busy. So we, you know, people want their treatments. They feel safe in spas. And so I think that there's a bright future for all of us. We just have to get through this time.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I know that in my world that when I go around, and Arizona's mostly been open anyways, right? But I'm surrounded by Elements Massage, Massage Envy, and Hand in Stone. And if I tried to pick up the phone right now and call any of them, get in today, I would not be able to get an appointment. They're 4, 5, 6. It's like a week term if you want. And they've got full staff and are trying to hire more. That always bodes well, right? And I never, ever feel unsafe going in. They're wearing masks. Everything is spectacularly clean. They've got the Lucite stands at the front counter. The one I went in the other day, you know, they don't take cash. You can leave cash for a tip. Mm-hmm. But they're not managing cash drawers anymore. It's all credit card if you want to do anything. I think that's going to be an interesting change as well if people just stop deciding to take cash.
Right. Right.
I've been working since I'm 10. I've always had cash in my pocket. Yeah. But I'm amazed at the amount of people that will pull out a credit card to get a $4 coffee. They just don't have a fiver in their pocket, you know.
But Alan, that's because we're older.
Oh my God.
We're older and we don't carry cash, you know. We do carry cash. The younger generation does not carry cash. And the Venmo thing, you know, I've just like lately turned onto the Venmo thing, which I kind of like actually.
Me too. Well, that part of the world's turning as well. But a lot of people don't know what Curry Consulting is, Curry Spa Consulting. Can you give our listeners the short story? What do you do? I mean, I've seen you for 20 years around the business now, but a lot of people don't know you. So tell them who you are.
Sure. So we are a spa consulting firm, and we provide services to hotel owners and developers, and sometimes day spa owners if they want, but mostly hotel owners and developers and architects and designers who are building and designing a spa within their resort development. So our job is to make sure that spa is built the correct size, with the correct components, with the correct attributes that will attract the right market to that resort development. So it's putting our spa and wellness and fitness expertise into the great big resort development bubble to help bring the total revenue up for that resort development. So we know that if you have a spa in your resort, you will be able to generate more room nights. We know that people will stay longer. So, but how do you build that spa? Just because you build it bigger doesn't mean it's going to be better or make more money. So we run the calculations to make sure that the spa guest use study is provided and the facility is the right size. And then, you know, spec the correct equipment so the owner isn't spending money on a bunch of equipment that they don't need or someone told them that they needed.
Okay, let me bring our listeners up to date. Then we're going to talk more about a few of these things. But it seems like it wasn't that long ago that the resorts were saying, okay, don't bother me. Just put in a spa and don't bother me, because they never thought it was going to make money. It was just an amenity. Remember those days, right? Just put
I do.
Don't bother me. And now they know what a profit center it is. So, you know, Yana Roth, it moved from Santa Barbara to Scottsdale here, and she's been helping at the Four Seasons at True North. And we had coffee and a croissant two Fridays ago. And I asked her how things going, and she said there was zero openings on the Friday, Saturday, Sunday spa schedule, right? The hotel might only be 72% busy, but the spa was 100% busy.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So the thing is, when the spa is the right size, then you have the capability of yield managing your business in a realistic way. If you build it too big, you have too many, say, let's just use treatment rooms. You know, if you have too many treatment rooms and you can't fill them during the each hour, then your yield is off and you can't keep your staff busy. So you're better off having a smaller spa with less treatment rooms, but being having that higher occupancy rate in your treatment rooms.
Yeah.
So it's a very fine line and a fine balance.
I'm going to quote a line from an old Tom Cruise movie, "Show me the money." Right?
Exactly.
It's all, what was the name of that movie? The football movie.
Oh my gosh, Alan, I'm so bad at trivia.
Right. With the age, the darn age thing.
You know, but your listeners are telling us right now. But
it's all about the dollars, right? Like the dollars have to work, that yield management on a per room, per treat. If you don't know your numbers, you don't know anything, do you?
Correct. And you know, if you're running a spa, you know, you're less of a spa person and more of a business person, right? Because you just have to constantly be on top of your numbers. And the thing is, if you think about it, if you're running a hotel, you are yielding one room per night. You get 24 hours to yield that room. When you're working in a spa and managing a spa, you have 1 hour. You have 1 hour to yield that room. So you gotta scramble. And the spa industry is scrambling. And you know, a spa director has more departments in their spa than a general manager has in their hotel. Right? Think about it. Right? If you add up all the different divisions in the hotel and you add up the different kinds of talent and education required for the different spa departments and the different licenses, you know, personal training, esthetician, massage therapist, with all the modalities and the certifications, and not to mention your safety certifications and your CPR and all that. That's all part of the spa departments. And so the spa directors have a lot to do.
We've been talking today with Lynn Curry at Curry Spa Consulting. She is whip smart. So you need to, what's your website, Lynn, that they should reach out to you at?
It's really easy. It's curryspaconsulting.com.
Curry, yes. CurrySpaConsulting.com. Okay, I have a couple more things I want to address, and these fall right into your bailiwick. There is this move towards touchless or low touch, and that isn't that now either retro, going to have to change in a lot of these spa facilities, but going forward with new development, this is a whole new way of looking at design and implementation. Can you address that?
All right. My feeling on this is a touchy subject, haha, pun intended, but it's a non-touchy subject. So touchless items like faucets and soap dispensers and gel that's in a public area, I think that's great. And I like that idea. Touchless treatments, there are many ways of looking at this, but the bottom line is what I'm seeing and hearing is that a guest still wants a massage by a therapist on a massage table in a massage room. That's still going to be our number one go-to. So the touchless treatments, I think the idea is great. And I think having one of those touchless, you know, massage chairs in your home would be great. I mean, so nothing against those at all. But I think when people come to a spa, they still want that one-on-one treatment.
And we are in the touch business. Hello. I mean, it's not going
exactly.
You're not going to give me a virtual massage or facial. It's just not going to happen.
I agree, Alan. I, you know, we have to be so careful with these trends. And you know, it's just like, speaking of trend, like the newest trend that just came out says people want to be outside. They want the outdoors incorporated in their spa. Well, we've been saying that for 20 years. Seriously. I mean, I found an article from 2004. I think it was in iSpa magazine, or I'm not sure where it was, but it was 2004. A bunch of us were interviewed. And one of the things I said and a couple of other people said was we need to incorporate the outdoors into these spa facilities, but yet forest bathing is a new trend. And, you know, being outside and bringing the outside in is a new trend. It's really not a new trend.
I don't know. I lived in Minnesota. I've been in the woods my whole life, so I don't see anything new about it. I grew up swimming in a lake that was 62 degrees. I mean, those things seem normal to me. But look, at people need trends because they need things to glom onto. But we know there's a shift in the world, and a lot of this touch or low touch also relates to, like, you're not going to go rip your steam room out because it's too early because we don't know where the pandemic is going. But in a lot of facilities, the sauna's closed, the steam room's closed, the hot tub's closed. But don't, what you're saying is don't make rash decisions yet about how you want to change that stuff, correct?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. And the thing is, if someone has a wet area in their spa, I mean, those areas are extremely expensive to build. You know, you don't want to start ripping them out. And look, we're going to get, the vaccine is here. We're going to get through this. We will, I'm sure. I feel very good about the future. I mean, even if we have to social distance in our wet areas, in our thermal areas, we can still utilize them. Maybe just less people at a time, and maybe it becomes a booked item instead of a free.
Yeah. Last thing I want to mention, because you brought it up earlier, I always thought wherever I go to a spa, spas are amazingly clean. They're even cleaner now. People should not fear going to a spa or massage studio. I don't care what it is. Go and enjoy yourself.
I agree.
We've gone from Sedona to Arizona and back today and across the globe. And I love being able to spend time with you. And we're going to come back in a few months and talk more about what's going on in design and stuff. Because to me, form and function, they're always so interesting, and you are so good at it. So people, look up Lynn Curry. She's at curryspaconsulting.com. She's an amazing woman. I love you. Can't wait till we have a cocktail again together.
Me too, Alan. Thanks. Come over for a glass of wine sometime.
You got a deal. And friends, remember, please be kind to one another.